That was great worship, guys. Thank you very much. Good morning. Why don't you turn to someone and welcome them? Just say you're very welcome to Liberty. Shake their hands. Give them a hug. Give them a tenner. Yeah. I'll decide. God is good. Every single moment of the day. As Peter said one time to me, you know why God is good? Because he doesn't know any other way to be. Amen. He doesn't know any other way. I hope I'm not having a heckler in today, am I? Only joking. Well, here we have a very important month. You know, this morning's message is, it's probably sound, it might sound a typical first sermon of the year sermon, but if you know me, I don't go for any of that stuff. I don't really, because it sounds so clichéable, and you know, we all need to start with New Year's resolutions. I think we should start with New Year revelation. Amen. And how we move into the new year based on what God is saying to us, as opposed to working up my willpower to do something and squeezing out a bit of fruit of the Spirit and all that stuff. And it's just so darn hard work. Because it's all by grace. And his grace is sufficient for us to produce in us what he wants to be produced in us this year, this season of our life. So if it sounds like that, just shoot your ears out. Oh, that was a typical New Year's message. Please, because honestly, I struggle with Easter and Christmas even doing messages. The guys will tell you. Because it's just Christianity. And Christianity gets muddled up in traditions and all types of stuff, and I don't always go for that. I want to be, as you know, a disciple, a follower of Jesus. What are you saying, Jesus? I will follow. That's what we're called to. Not some blend and bland Christianity that we take what we want and leave what we don't want. That's not going to win the world. That's not going to win the city. But like being a follower of Jesus, Jesus says, I only do what my dad says. That should be our response. I only do what the Lord is telling me to do. I don't care what Mary wants me to do, Maggie wants me to do, Danny wants me to do, a pastor wants me to do, a leader. When I hear God, I do it. And I do that with all my heart. And that's what I think we're being called to. That's being Spirit-led. And so I'm just saying all that to qualify my message for this morning, because I don't want you to just fall on those ears. But also, this month is a very important month. This is the first month of the year. And in the first month of the year, what we've been doing over the last couple of years is giving this month to the Lord. Meaning this, that this is our prayer month. That we don't have our Bible studies on, our theology class on, we don't have link groups on, we don't have anything on other than the things we're already committed to regarding outreach. And so no groups are on, this month is to the Lord. This is a month of rest. This is a month of hearing. This is a month of waiting on God. And then we launch into the new year. And if you know Liberty in any way, it's fast paced after January. That like we're heading towards something, we're heading towards the next outreach, we're heading towards the next. We're going to be having the two services in February in Clondalkin and in Finglas. So it's full speed ahead, but it's important that this month we rest. That we wait on God. Do your own private Bible study with God. Do your own getting in on your own with God. But then as a group, as a church, we're going to be meeting twice a week over the next month. And here we go. The first week, it will be this week, Wednesday the 8th and the 9th. That's a bit mixed up. I'll tell you. The first week is this week, 8th and 9th, Wednesday and Thursday. We will be meeting here in our D location. So this is an invitation to everyone in our four locations to come and to join together. And the first night will be all about just worshiping the Lord. It's because it's about Him. It's seeking Him first, seeking His kingdom first. So we'll have a great time of worship, of extended times of worship, and waiting on God. And then the next night, what you hear from God to pray for on the Wednesday, we will pray and release what God has given us on the Thursday. You with me? 7:30 to 9:30. For all the locations, thanks. So it's important that you're there. It's important that your voice is heard. It's important that God knows. Like, I love that scripture Sharon just said, that God watches your coming in and going out. Why does He watch? Why does God watch? We have to ask ourselves questions of, why does God watch? What is He watching for? Is He watching for our commitment? Is He watching for our heart attitude? What is He watching for? what he wants us for is so that he can give us more. Because I tell you, he doesn't give more to the frivolous, to the non-committed. He doesn't. He can't. And he watches, the Bible says, he watches what we put in the basket. He watches everything. Why? Because he wants to get more to us, and he wants to know who we can trust with the more so that we can give more. We go, I never prosper. Well, watch what you're giving. Because he is. Or I never see him to do this, or I never see him to get answered prayer. But what are you praying? It's very important. And this month is about just wait and rest. And then it's full speed ahead. So the dates you know in Liberty in this location, it is the 8th and 9th, Wednesday and Thursday, 7:30 to 9:30. And we give it to the Lord. Amen. And then the next week you'll be in Bray. The week after that it's Finglas. And the week after that is in Clondalkin. And it's important. Don't start wearing yourself out going to all other meetings and other places. Believe me, don't come to me in next July and go, I'm tired, you're worn out, and you haven't took your time to rest in God. Because what we want to do is do everything out of rest. We don't want to be doing everything out of hurried. We don't want to do everything out of haste. We don't want to do everything out of busyness and business. This is our month to say, Lord, this is a Sabbath unto you. And I'm going to give it to you. Amen? Put up your hand and say amen. Give the person beside you a high five and say, see you Wednesday. That's good. I love when you have the mic, you can get people to do things. Like, I was just thinking there now, turn around and give them a slap in the back of the head. And I bet you some of you would have, especially the wives to the husband. Well, let's just commit this to God. Father, we love you. And we're just so delighted, Lord, that we have received everything by your grace. That's not works, it's not nothing that I or we can boast in. It's all by your grace, Father. And I am so, so grateful for another year, Father. I'm so grateful that you've lifted the load again. I'm so grateful, Lord God. I'm just so grateful to you, Lord. I just want to say thank you, Lord. I ask you to bless your word. Show us how to enter this year, Father. Show us as individuals how to enter this year, Lord. During this month prayer, that, Lord, that you would show us what's ahead. You would show us steps to take, doors to knock at, questions ask. And what to seek, Lord. We only want what you want for us, Father. Father, would you shut our ears to the negative, and Lord, shut our ears, Lord God, to ourself that tries to keep us ourselves back from the things of God. Lord, just this year we give to you, and we just say grace to this year. The prophet said, say to the mountain, grace, grace. And we just say to this year of 2014, grace, grace be upon you of 2014 in everything that is of God. I pray, Father, that we don't miss one opportunity that you present to us, Lord, this year. Amen. I had a great thought on the way in the car. The Bible says that when one person turns to Jesus, when one person that doesn't know God, who's a sinner, repents and becomes a son or a daughter of God, that the angels in heaven rejoice. They jump up and down. That word rejoice actually means that it actually means to actually do a jump and a spin at the same time. True. Like I don't want to try because I break my ankle and I want to play football on Wednesday. But it means like just, it's not like, that's great. It's like they're going bonkers. It's like better than a World Cup winning goal for Ireland. It's better than the winning try. It's better than your famous wrestler winning. Oh, no, I only watch wrestling. It's better than anything that you could have. You know, it's even better than, yes, it's much more. It's like a jumping up and around. And I could imagine when they jump up and around, there's this connect of a high five all over heaven going on. And I like talk to myself on the way in, how did they learn how to do that? Who showed them how to rejoice like that? Tell you what I think, the Father. Because it says in Hebrews, or it implies that the angels didn't really know what was going on when Jesus went to the cross. They didn't really fully understand all of this, the God being nailed to a cross. But when the first son of Adam came home, I could imagine the Father. Shit, well, yes, yes. And the angels cop on. The sons of Adam and the daughters of Adam can come home now because Jesus made a way back to the Father. No wonder the Father's rejoicing. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That the Father, everything, some people think the Father is grumpy and, oh, you're sinning, I'm going to bash you. The Father is more like, yes! The Father is more like, give me 5, come on. Angels, we better do it, this seems good. He's always good, he's always wonderful, always rejoicing. There's people all around the world right now giving their lives to Jesus, and Father's rejoicing. And him and Jesus, why is Jesus at the right hand? Because it's better to give, just easier to do that, isn't it? There you go, son. Anyway, there's a great year ahead for us. A great year ahead for us as a church. There'll be great opportunities. There'll be great opposition. There will be great maturity, great growth. Our influence will increase this year as a church, and your influence will increase as an individual. And within this year, we will all go through seasons. And we need to just, I want to get us prepared to enter into the season where you're going into with a certain attitude. And that's my whole point for today. That I want us to enter in as a people. I want us to enter in as individuals to the seasons that God has for us. And it's wise people who recognize the seasons that they're in. Unwise people don't bother to find out what season they're in, and therefore they don't know what they need to get out of the season. Or they don't know what God wants to get out of us in that season, or we don't understand what God wants to put into us this season, or what level he wants us to grow in this season. It says the sons of Issachar knew the times that they lived in. And I pray that for us this morning, that we will know the seasons that we're living in as individuals. And how we respond to the season we're in determine the measure of growth and maturity and experience that we can have in God. That if I'm just not bothered with the season I'm in, I'm not bothered to give a time, I'm not bothered to give some consideration, well then I'll be here next year going, I didn't really experience much of God this year. Our response always measures what we can receive within these seasons. Listen to what Solomon says. There's a time for everything. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. Your season may be for something new to birth it. New dream. New aspects of living. It may be time for something to die. Something in our past. Something of last year. Something that you've been trying to breathe life in and it's just not happening. Maybe it's time for that to die. And if you recognize the birth time and the dying time, you will know what to do within that season. A time to plant. A time to sow new things. A time to uproot, a time to say, like, enough of this. I'm not staying in this place. A time to kill, a time to heal. Sharon said up in the prayer room earlier on, she goes, I need to kill me. So not me, herself. She says, I need to kill me every day. But the Bible actually says, the only way to deal with the nature that is always in opposition to God is to kill it. It's to put it to death. It's to crucify it with Christ Jesus. You can't dress it up. You can't semi-heal the flesh or the old nature. It has to actually die. And she was looking at me when she was saying it. There's a time to heal. Maybe your season is a season of healing. Maybe this season is a heart being mended, a heart being restored, renewed, a body being renewed. Something that needs to be fixed. You could be entering into a season. A time to tear down, a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. Maybe this is a season of mourning. Maybe this is a season of weeping for you. But the Bible says that he can turn mourning into dancing in an instant. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Solomon says, there's time for everything, every activity under the sun. But what we need to decide is, what season am I in? And what should be my attitude going into that season? Or what should I be about? The good thing about seasons is they come and go. Seasons change. Praise be to God. You know, that a woman was saying that they asked her our favorite passage in the scripture. And she said it's in Genesis. And it says, and it came to pass. She says, I'm sure Gladys says it doesn't say in the came to stay. Because no matter what season is in, whether it's a high season or a low season, a tearing down or a building up, a laughing or a mourning, a dancing or a weeping, we never stay in the same season. But we need to get out of that season, what we're supposed to get out of that season, and move on to the next season that God would have us. And seasons have a funny way of causing reaction from us as people. We can run away from the season. And we don't want to deal with the tearing down, or we don't want to deal with the success. Nelson Mandela just recently passed away. He says, we're not afraid of our failures. We're afraid of being successful. And some people run away from success. Sabotage successful things in their life. Because they're believing, I'm not worth it. I sure I'm only going to blow it anyway, so I might as well blow it before I get it, before I blow it with it, I might as well blow it out. I've been with people, I've worked with people the last 24 years. Just getting over the line, just getting to the place of victory, and they do something silly to sabotage it. Running away. Seasons can cause us to grumble. Because we're not happy in our season, we grumble and make other people's seasons miserable. Or funny enough, we have an ability to be able to find those who are in this season like us, and we grumble together. Because birds of a feather always flock together. You're supposed to find somebody who was in a high season and drain them of all the good things in them. Tell me what God is doing, because I can't seem to find them. I'm in a tear down season. I want to see what God's doing for such and such. Getting built up. We think we make them jealous. No, we let avoid them. Because God is God and He loves you as much as He loves the next person. Or else we'll isolate ourselves in seasons. I'll just get the head down and go through it. And then we go through it and go through 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 and go through. You're like, when is your man ever going to shut up grumbling and isolate himself and seek God and get out of that season? But isolation is a killer. And what I feel in my heart for this season coming in the church is that God wants to bring breakthrough, but breakthrough is better and always, nearly as I read, in the context of community or in the context of family. Because we're able to keep our victory within the context of community, because that's where we're told to spur one another on. That's where we're told to stand together. That's where we're told to pray for one another. In the context of family, you keep your victory when you stay in the bounds of family and community that God has given us. But isolation brings us out, and it's an old illustration, but you just have a fresh look at any wildlife program, and when the lions roar and the wildebeest legge run away, there's always a group that goes that way, but one always goes on its own. Always gets isolated, and that's the one that gets devoured. And we can't be unwise people. That if you're an isolator, give yourself a kick up the rump and say, I need to get with somebody. It's not somebody's responsibility to get with you. It's your responsibility. It's your life. It's your freedom. It's your liberation. And you just go and you put it on yourself. Can you imagine getting chased by the lion, the wildebeest? None of them will come and see me. No, he's thinking, I need to get with them. I need to get back into the herd. I need to get back into protection. I need to get back into covering. It's me that needs to get back with mama. It's me that needs to get back with dada. It's me that needs to get with brother and sister. Not all them going, well, yeah, we'll run over to you. Yeah, right. And listen to you grumble. Which brings me into isolation. Oh, we have to be wise. Because the devil is wise. He has a wisdom that just is designed to tear you down. Or we can backslide, just go back to your old life. We forget that God has brought us into the season, and we find comfort in what we used to find comfort in, wherever that is for you. Or in seasons, we can stand. I don't understand it, but I'm going to stand. Just before Christmas, all these scriptures are coming into my mind about how much the Bible says about persevere. Stand firm. And you've done all of this, Paul says, stand. And in seasons when you don't know what's going on, you can stand. You don't have to run, you can stand. You can persevere. You can push through, but that's greater and more likely to happen in the context of family. You can stand on believing God. On believing God. But everything around you looks like it's falling apart. Blessed is the man or woman who believes God. You'll never be put to shame. Now I'm standing and believing. But you know what? You sound crazy. I don't care. I believe. What's the alternatives? Grumble. Rumble. Can't think of anything else. Jumble. Isolation. Desolation. Frustration. Now I'm going to believe. I'm going to choose to believe God. Another part of a season is a season for fighting. I'm not just standing, I'm on the front foot. This is my season to take ground. This is my season to take my freedom. This is my season to take my liberation. This is my season to see what God has promised come into my world. It's not just about sitting back and waiting, because that's part of it. But another season is it's time to fight. It's time to say, I'm not giving in this time. I'm not giving up this time. I'm not going into isolation. I'm not going to be a grumbler. I'm going to be on the front foot. I have a word of God in my mouth and a sword in my hand. I'm going to go forward in what God has for me. There's a time for that. And here's the way I propose, as leader of Liberty Church, that we enter in. And if we get this, we will be, bulletproof, impenetrable. Nothing can break through the barrier if we have this, if we keep this attitude that I'm going to tell you about. That if we grab a hold of this, we'll enter into this season taking ground. We'll go into this season no matter what it is. The wind can be blowing all around us and you can say, I'm not going to live by what I feel. I'm going to live by what is real, and what is real is what God has said to me. We can walk and we can talk and we can do it. And all of a sudden you'll see within this year that your maturity in God, your growth in God will have spurted up. Well, it took you 10 years to get to this place and all of a sudden, boom. You ever see, didn't happen to me. You know, you haven't seen someone for a year and you go, my, you've grown. I always say that about my nephews and nieces, but like no one's ever. You haven't seen them in ages and they're like up to 7 years of age. And the next minute all of a sudden they're like little men or little women. You're like, my goodness, that's what it's like. You think, oh, look, and then God brings you to this place and you stand. You don't run, you don't grumble, you believe, and all of a sudden, poof, freckles and pimples and hair coming out of your face, and you're like, my goodness, that person's grown. Listen to the wisdom that's coming out of that person now. Look at the level of ministry that they're giving out of themselves. How did that happen? Oh, you recognize me, season. I went in with this attitude. So listen, here's God delivering the people of Israel out of Egypt. For a purpose. Does anyone know the purpose? I love it. He says, tell Pharaoh you're bringing the people out to the desert to worship. If we enter this year as worshippers, we'll become impenetrable. Because worship is all about God. It's about fixing your eyes on Him. It's about, okay, the psalmist says, the wicked always seem to prosper, and these are going well, and they're going well. And he's getting self-pity and goes, poor me. And then he says, until I went into the presence of God. He went into the tabernacle. He started worshiping. Then he goes, oh God, that doesn't matter to me. Because the heart of the worshiper is impenetrable. It's bulletproof. Because they know who God is. And Jesus said this. He didn't say he's looking for evangelists. He's not looking for miracle workers. He says, my dad is looking for worshippers. That's the mark of the priest. We're all priests. And the true mark of a priest is to be a worshiper of God. So listen, he brings them out. Pharaoh gets freaked. They're all getting away, all the Israelites. Imagine the deliverance that had been brought in. Imagine the songs that was welling up in their hearts of deliverance. And he brings them out, and next minute Pharaoh starts freaking. And listen, we pick it up in verse 10 in Exodus chapter 14 and 15. But listen, it says, as Pharaoh approached them, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and they cried out to the Lord. They said, this was their season of deliverance. And they said to Moses, was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought it out to the desert to die? He started to grumble. What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Leave us in our misery. Leave us serving the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord that he will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." I'd love to read the rest of it all, but it says that God, he put this cloud of fire towards the Egyptians, and a cloud of fire towards the Israelites, and a cloud of darkness at the other side to the Egyptians. So they had to camp in the night time while the Israelites were walking in the daytime. And it says God looked out, and he confused all the Egyptians. Moses says, God will fight for you. God will fight. Not man, God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to take on God. I would take on a man if he could catch up with me because I'm a good runner. But not God. And it says this, stand firm. And we know the story that the wind came and it blew open the sea and they walked across on dry ground. And then when all the Egyptians came in, God was right. The Egyptians that you see today, you won't see tomorrow. And every one of the enemy of Israel was swallowed up by the sea. Absolutely brilliant. Now listen to verse 15. Then Moses and Miriam and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord, for he is mightily exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God and I will praise him. My father's God and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army, he is hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the sea. The deep waters have covered them and they sank to the depths like a stone. They start rejoicing in God. God has brought us great victory. God has caused our enemies to be hurled into the sea. And they were saying, God is my strength and my rock and he's my warrior. And God, you're just great. And let's give one of those high fives to God. And they were giving a loads unto God. They were all singing. They went from grumbling. You're going to let us die here. Moses, you dirty dog. What's this God all about? You brought us out to God, you're my rock. You're my salvation. Absolutely brilliant. Moses is great. God is great. Everything is great. In victory, we must keep record, because if we don't keep record of God's victory, in the next test, we'll fall back into grumbling. They were great at grumbling, and then they were great at victory. And you would think because they've seen this great victory, that's it. They're set up for life. But they came to a place where the water was bitter. Listen to what it says. This is just after this. Moses then led them from the Red Sea and they went to the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water because it was bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses. What are we to drink? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. The Lord does a miracle. But here's the point. God gives you victory. And if we remember God's victory when we're going into the next battle or the next season, we've something to draw back on, because if we don't have a remembrance of what God done in the past, we'll just turn into grumblers again. Are you with me? If we don't remember the goodness of God, see, what would have happened is they should have, or imagine we can enter into every season like this. The water may be bitter, but God is good. I don't know where we're going to get the next 10 euro, but God is good. You know why God is good? Because he already showed me that he's good. And see, they had the right song on the wrong side. They had the song of victory when there was victory, but when it came into the next season of their life, they fell back into the place of grumbling. And grumbling. God says, now we're going to have to do another miracle. And he's no problem doing a miracle, but their growth was stunted. Their maturity level was lessened. Why? Because they didn't learn and they had no place for remembering in their life as to what God has done. Whatever you're going through, you have to look back and remember that God is good and is always good. And the God that kept you in that season will keep you in this season, no matter what it is. And there's times you have to tell yourself. You have to look yourself in the eye and go, you're forgiven. You're not a failure. God is for you. God is not, because I'm not living according to what I feel. At least I don't want to live according to what I feel. I want to live according to what is real. And God has shown us what is real and what His reality is like in His Word. That God gives victory. And if we don't hold on to a thankful heart, that we'll forget the victory. And we go into a season and we become grumblers. And we'll find other grumblers. And we'll have a grumblers in the group. And I want to tell you, we can all have a good grumble, don't get me wrong. But nobody wants to be real around a grumbler. I want to be celebrated, not tolerated. And grumblers are tolerated. Your friend might be just tolerating you. You know why? Because you're a big grouch. Come on, just let us be real. And all you every time is you sit with you and you're giving out, giving out, giving out, giving out. Get real. Get before God. Repent of it. And move on in your growth level. Move on. This city needs you to be fully you. Not half you, not three quarters. It needs you to be you. And here's the beauty of God has it all for us. It's not like we have to fake it. We have to take it. Because He has it for us. Say amen, because you're looking at me with teeth out. I want to feel loved. And the Israelites, while they were grumbling, listen to what this is how serious this stuff can be. They were actually sowing seeds into the future. 40 years they were in that desert. 40 years of no maturity. No learning from the past victory. 40 years. And they were sowing into the kids and into their kids. Doubts and fears and all types of things because they wouldn't believe God. They start making God out to be awful. In God out to be bad. You start saying that God can't provide for us. And when He did provide for us, He gave out about what He provided for them. Because these seeds that He'd sown into their lives had caught root. And they were prepared and fruit for the next generation. And their kids were eating off and their kids were listening to them. And God's like, no, you haven't learned. You go around again. It doesn't matter if you run, isolate yourself. It doesn't matter what you do. You won't move on in God until you get to that point where you're going, okay, God. You won't get around it. You might look, you might run. You might come back to God, you might come back to a place of surrender, but all of a sudden you find yourself back at the same place. God says, no, I want you to overcome that in this season. Imagine if they would have gone in and worshipped God. Imagine what it would have been like if they entered into that season with, God, I love you. No, Lord, you make the heavens and the earth. You killed all the Egyptians, and I can't believe you for a drop of water. I can't believe you for this after seeing that. Imagine if they would have taken that last victory and used it as a platform of worship and adoration. They would have become impenetrable. The doubts and fears, imagine the doubts. God won't provide water. Shut up. My God always provides. Imagine it doesn't look like this water going to happen, but God can make water spring up out of the ground. God can do anything. Imagine if they would have gone in, Lord, I worship you. There's no water, but I worship you. The grumblers, there's never any water in this place. It doesn't matter. God will make it fall out of the sky. Imagine. Imagine what it would have been like going into that season. Fully convinced that God is good and God will come through and bring me through whatever season I am in. If we go by what we feel, we'll produce seeds accordingly. We have to go by what is real. A reality viewpoint has to come from God's word and God's perspective. Because if not, I don't feel love. So therefore, I will sow seeds of unlove. I don't feel like a man of faith. I will be sowing doubt. I don't feel accepted. Therefore, I'll be sowing seeds of feeling unaccepted. I'll sow seeds of a failure. I sow seeds of, I feel I'm going to die. But that's not real. I feel is not real. I feel it's an emotion. But your life is in God's hands. And His hands are big, honey. His hands are big. And they're healing hands. No one, remember Jacob used to say in Nigeria, man, remember he said, no one can snatch you from God's hands because they're too big to be snatched from. people say to me, I feel I'm going to die when I'm young. Don't sow a seed of fear, you big jabroni. I'm going to live out every day of my life that God has planned for me. The steps of the righteous are ordered of God's. Life and death are in the hands of God's. You have to overcome it. You have to speak a crop failure into the seeds that you sowed last year, so that that weed is not produced this year. We have to dig them up. Now, I said that about myself. Get the trowel out. You're not producing fruit in my life this year. Because I'm loved, I'm accepted, I'm royalty. That's what we sang. Naomi was prophesying over us. I have a destiny. I have a purpose. I'm victorious. You know, you may feel rich. You know what the Bible says? Here's God's reality. You and I may feel weak. But God's reality is, let the weak say they're strong. So are we going to go by what I feel, or are we going to go by what's real according to God? No, I can do this in God. It says, let the poor say they're rich. Well, what I might feel is, there's no money in me pocket. But what's real is, God is our provider. And we need to always remember who our dad is. I'm forgiven. I'm empowered. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. I will live by what is real and not by what I feel. I will determine how I handle this season according to the reality of who God is. I'm going to break every seed, every agreement I came into agreement with that seed of grumbling, of doubt, of fear, of sin, of flesh, of the devil. I'm breaking it today. I'm breaking. I'm not going to come into agreement with any other seed other than what's real in God. I'm sorry, that's last year's stuff. That's so last year. This year, this is the seeds I'm sowing. I'm going to be victorious this year. I'm going to go into the season this year and get what God has. So here's one for you. I'm going to finish with this and get back into worship, because that's what this is about. Psalm 20. You know David, King David, he built his own tabernacle. And in the Old Testament, there was Moses' tabernacle. And everyone teaches on Moses' tabernacle. But that's all Old Testament. It's great. It's types of what Jesus is and what Jesus looks. And if you look actually from Moses' tabernacle, from an aerial point of view, it's in the shape of a cross. Even way before a cross ever came into being as a form of punishment. Brilliant. But David comes along and he does something different. And he was crazy, dude. And all of the regulations from Moses' tabernacle, David seemed to break them. And he comes in and he brings the ark. David's first act of the king as a king was to bring the presence of God back in the form of the Ark of the Covenant. That was his first act. Get the Ark of the Covenant. Get it back. Get the presence of God back in. Oh, this is a season of the presence of God. Get the presence of God. And he went and got it. Remember all that. But he built, and there's a whole story around that, but he built the tabernacle for it. And this tabernacle, Moses, only the high priest could go in once a year. Do you remember that? The blood was of the goat was for him and the covering of the sins of the people. But David breaks that in some way. Or doesn't go according to that. But he has all the priests in 24/7 worshiping God. 365 days a year. He now brings... The point is, all priests can come into the presence of God. He was an Old Testament person living in a New Testament mindset. Unbelievable. Because all of us can go in as priests into the presence of God. David was living in this in the Old Testament. He called all the priests in. And he comes along in Psalm 20. Psalm 20, they reckoned that he was going into war. And he's going to enter into a battle. And no matter what season we're in, but this is a war season for David. And David, when he was going into the war season, he goes to the tabernacle. You know, David had men following him around. Like, honestly, I'm trying to get my head around this, and it's amazing. But when you read, you know, David, a psalm of David, and he said, give it to the maskil. A maskil, M-A-S-K-I-L, was a poet or someone who ponders stuff. Or part of the maskil group was tankers. He had a whole group that just went around thanking God. That was their only goal. When he said God is good, they'd go, give thanks to the Lord. Like, he had thousands of these people all in his worship team. Unbelievable. But he gets this song. He's going to war. And what does he do? He goes into the tabernacle. What's in the tabernacle? Presence of God. And he goes into worship. He says, I'm going into a war season, but before I go there, I worship. matter what season you're going into, enter in. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to worship my way in this season. I'm going to worship through this season. I'm going to worship while I'm in the midst of this season. I'm going to worship on the way out of this season. I'm going to determine that I'm going to worship God. This year we're entering in worshipers. The Lord, it doesn't matter. And he goes in and listen to David's psalm. Psalm 20. And he gives it to the music director. And this is what would have happened, right? So David would sing the song like something like this. May the Lord grant all your requests. So when David wasn't doing this privately. All the priests were there and all the people. And when David would say, and he gave it to the choir master, so it was done to music. So he would say, may the Lord grant all your requests. And all the people would say, yes, Lord, grant all his requests. Because they knew they were in the flow of what he was getting. Amazing. The people were in agreement with what the king was praying to God. And he was teaching the people how to go through the season of war. You seek God. And this is what David says. Now this I know. The Lord gives victory to his anointed. Do you know how he knew it? Because he had other victories. He never forgot. Why does he know it? Because the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. He listens, he goes, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. They are brought to their knees and fall, but rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to your king. Answer us when we call. And all the people would have been like, every time a line of that was sung, they were going, Lord, answer us when we call. Lord, grant us victory. Give David great life. And every time he would sing, they would sing back to him. And it went before the Lord. And David went out to battle, and David had a great victory. And listen to Psalm 21. After the battle, in Psalm 21, David comes back to the tabernacle. And he gives thanks to the Lord for the victory and answered prayer. His attitude at the beginning was worship. His attitude at the end was to come back and to give thanks to God. Worship before the battle sets you up for victory. And he comes back and says, the king rejoices in your strength, O Lord. How great is my joy in the victories you give. You've granted me my heart's desire. And have not withheld the request of my lips. You came to greet him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. Lord, he asked you for life and you gave it to him. You gave him length of days forever and ever. Through the victories you gave him, his glory is great. You have bestowed on him splendor and majesty. Surely you've granted him unending blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. Through the unfailing love of Almighty God, he will not be shaken. If worship at the beginning sets you up for victory, worship at the end seals your victory. Going back to God seals the victory. And I don't know what season you're in. And maybe you thought, maybe I'll just sing a song of, the Bible calls it a dirge, a D-I-R-G-E, a lament. I'm in a bad season. Maybe he wants to turn that into a rejoiceful song. Maybe he wants to give you a song of deliverance. But I'm not in the midst of my deliverance right now, no. But this is what's not real to me. What's real to me is that God said it and I will be delivered. So your song is based on what God has said as opposed to where you're at. Because God, the Bible is all about songs. It's all about singing when you read the Bible. It's all about sound. When God said, let there be light, a sound came from God. A sound. And when sound hits a certain pitch, or I don't really, like megahertz or wherever they're measured in, when it hits a certain pitch, it turns into light. So when God said, let there be light, this sound came from God and it moved through the universe and through the atmosphere at such a pace that when it hit the air, there was light. The sound of God. And that's why the Bible talks about songs of victory and songs of joy and songs of deliverance. Why? Because it's bringing God's light into your circumstance and your situation. And how we go in, believe me, if you feel miserable, God bless you. Sing a song. Surrender your heart to God. Come on back up, guys. And determine to enter into this. I tell you what, we've had disasters in our lives, me and Sharon. I could bore you to tears and wipe them up. Count the people that we prayed for and they didn't make it. Family members dying before their time. And the one thing I honor Sharon is every time when I'd say, Sharon, take a break, I was, I'm up on the worship today. And she used to say, I'll worship my way through this. And I honor you for that, Sharon. Sharon had a baby on a Saturday and was on the worship team on Sunday. I kid you not. I was never mind the baby, of course. I'm kidding you not. It was like just something in her heart that wherever she said it, maybe she can tell us. What made you set that in her life? I'm going to worship my way through this. I'm going to worship my way in the middle of this. I'm telling you, you will become impenetrable. Because you know why? You're engaging with God. You're not engaging with man. You're not engaging with someone beside you. You're not engaging with a counselor. You're not engaging with a photographer or a counselor or a pastor. You're engaging with God. God. And I love this. The Bible says, make a noise unto God. He made it right down to the bare bones that we can all do it. He didn't say, only the good singers can sing to me. Okay, just make a noise. Just make an ew, ew. It's coming from your heart. I can read it. God can read sound. Let's stand. So, whatever I say, I want you to say it back to me. Yeah? I want you to say it with attitude. I want you to say it like you believe it. So if I say, God bless the people, you say, yes, God bless the people. Yeah? Because that's you and me. Yeah? So we have a little run through because I know that's good. I'm just going to pray and you're going to repeat it. This is my prayer for us. Father, bless the people. Oh, yes, Lord, bless the people. Everything you say, whatever I say, you say, yes, Lord. You're agreeing with it, yeah? Something like that, we'll get it. Father, bless the people.
Yes, Lord, bless the people.
Father, heal the people.
Yes, Lord, heal people.
Father, set us free.
Yes, Lord, set us free.
Lord, prosper us.
Lord,
open doors for us.
Yes, Lord, open doors.
Heal, heal our bodies.
Yes, Lord, heal our
minds.
Heal our hearts.
Uproot.
Yes, Lord,
every seed.
Yes, Lord,
of negativity in my life.
Yes, Lord,
amen.
Amen.
I plant today a seed of wholeness, of maturity, of freedom in my life. And this year, I will see the fruits of what I've sown today. I commit myself to enter into every season with a heart of worship. I will come before you and make my requests known. And I will come back to you with thanksgiving in my heart. Just put your hand on the shoulder beside you. You sow a seed of blessing. You sow something of God right now that He'll put in your heart. Bless, encourage, Father. Build up, Lord God. Strengthen. No matter what season we're in right now, Father, could we know your presence? Could we know your presence right now, Lord? That we will know what is real as opposed to what we feel. That we enter into this year with not resolutions, but with revelation. Of that I know the seasons, and I know there's something I need to get in this season, and I know there's something in this season that will be for my benefit, for my growth. And therefore, Lord, I'm sticking close to you. I reject grumbling. I reject doubt. I reject fear. I reject isolation. And I commit myself to your word, to believing, to seeking you with all of my heart. That one. Take a moment. We love you, Lord. We want to sing our song to you, Lord. We want to sing from our heart, Lord. and say that we love you. Just let's lift up our voices. Just say something unto God. Lord, we bless you. Don't hold back. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. We bless you, Lord. We want to say, Lord, grace. Grace to every mountain, Lord. Grace into 2014, oh God. You've always been faithful, Lord. You've always been faithful, Lord. Faithful God, faithful God, faithful God. We worship you, Almighty God. Remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. Lifting my load again. To remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. There you go, lifting my load again. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come upon with the yoke of Jesus. Jesus' burden is so light. And my head by of this world. Come upon with the yoke of Jesus. His burden is so light. It's so light. We love you, Lord. You lift my load. 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 Lift my load. You lift my load. You lift my load, lift my load, you lift my load. No longer am I held back of this world. Come upon with the yoke of Jesus, his burden is so light. Am I held back of this world? Come upon with the yoke of Jesus, cause easy, his burden is so light. His burden is so light. Burden is so light. Just keep playing, lads. Do you know what I'm just thinking? Just this words of this song, take a moment to remember who God is. Now in your season, and as you enter into this year, just take a moment to remember who we're talking about. The God, the maker of heaven and earth, Yahweh. With him there's nothing impossible. Remember, with him there's nothing he cannot do. Remember, he can make oceans part. Remember, he can drown down the enemy. Remember, he can take loaves and fishes and feed multitudes. Remember, he can call dead people out of tombs. Remember, he can heal the sick, cause the lame to walk again, the blind to see and the deaf to hear. Remember, he's the one who can say, demons gone. Remember, he's the one that says, let there be light, and there is light. Take a moment. Now take another moment to consider who you are. Are you a son or daughter? Yeah. If not, just ask him right now. Can I be a son? Can I be a daughter? Come into my life. Forgive me my sin. Fill me up with your freedom, your Holy Spirit. Just ask him to come in. Now remember who you are. You're a son. You're a daughter.
You're accepted, you're loved, you're forgiven. There's nobody like you on this whole planet, and He made it that way. He made it that way. That there's nobody like you. He made you unique because He loved you that way. He's for you. You're someone who is never alone. You're someone who is filled with the majesty and the magnificence of a holy God. That you will have breakthrough, you will have freedom. Why? Because it's in your DNA. It's assigned to your life. There is a work for you to do. Because it's been assigned to your life. Now could I get you, every one of us, to lift up our hands. If you're new, if you're here for the first time, what a great morning to come into. I remember when I started coming to church, and I used to put my hands up at my hips. Because I was afraid of anyone seeing me and they laugh at me. Paranoid the bits. And then one day I lifted them up and I tell you, it's freedom. There's freedom. You know what you're saying? I don't give a rip about self-consciousness. I don't give a rip about my neighbor. This is me and God. And when we sang this song the first time around, and He says, you lifted my load again. I kid you not. I felt the load being lifted off. I need liberty and freedom like you need it. I need Jesus as much as you need Him. I need breakthroughs as much as you do. And when we sang that song, I just felt just the lightness. Because that's the way it's supposed to be in His presence. A lightness. Because He's lifted His air load and He's given us His yoke, which is easy and light. Let's sing and keep your hands in the air. Give Him everything. If you can't name it, just make a grunt, make a sound, make a ew, ew. He comes and He takes it. And He doesn't just take, He gives.
Remember who God is, who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. To remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. Take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. There you go, lifting my load again. There you go, lifting my load again. Oh, oh. Of this world, lifting my load again, lifting my load again, no, lifting my load again. There you go, lifting my load again. Lifting my load again. There you go, lifting my load again. No, no, lifting my load again. Lifting my load again. There you go, 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 lifting my load again. No, lifting my load again. There you go, lifting my load again. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we just give it all up to you. Let's just give him a shout and a praise clap and anything unto God. We love you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Lord, make us impenetrable this year. Lord, make us bulletproof this year, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that our eyes will be fixed upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, I pray over your people as we enter into 2014. I say this is going to be a great year. I say that you're going to grow this year. That you are going to grow this year. That you are going to grow, that the vision that God has for your life, you're going to know it this year. You're going to celebrate it this year. That you will no longer be tolerated. You will be celebrated. Your life will be celebrated in Jesus' name. I bless you. I thank God for you. And I pray that you have the best week ever in Jesus' great name. Please enjoy a cup of tea with us. Amen.